Let's take a look for a few minutes. Maybe we can have a little discussion on this too. But one of the one another that we're looking at this evening is over in Romans chapter 15. Just a few verses before where we had the mystery verse just a minute ago. And let me read the first few verses here. We have a great day in the morning. Everybody knows Romans isn't to the right of Revelation. Except me, evidently. Chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong... let me stop for just a minute. Remember, chapter 14 is the one where it talks about weaker brothers and what constitutes a weaker brother and how we're supposed to deal with each other in that weaker brother type of scenario and all of that. And so then it starts out in 15, kind of refers to that. And it says that we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. That is a huge statement right there when we're talking about church and when we're talking about what we ought to be to one another. Some very strong language in this. It says that we that are strong, those that have a faith that can't be wobbled by what other people do, basically, okay? That's the premise of 14. Don't be wobbled by what other people say, do, think, or how they go about their life. Don't let that wobble you. Don't let that be something that tears you down. But at the same time, because you are stronger in your faith, don't take liberties, because those that are weaker will gravitate towards that, and it may open the door to other things. And so it says that we that are strong in the faith, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And when it says ought there, that's not kind of like an English word that we use that says, you know, we ought to go downtown, or we ought to do this, or we ought to do that. What this is a directive. It's more directive than it is a choice in this. What he's saying here, we that are strong have a duty, have a responsibility to bear the infirmities of the weak. What we did here for just a short period of time here this evening here is bear up the infirmities of the weak that we have around us by lifting them up in that prayer and understanding and empathizing with the hurt that these individuals have that we lifted up. What we have done here is to do this directive in some part here even this evening. Spiritually, we have done that. I mean, there's more to it. We ought to be more, you know, physically involved in that as well, to bear up those infirmities as well. And not to please ourselves, be others-oriented. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification, that we ought to be about the business of building each other up and not have to be one that has to be built up ourselves. To build up other folks. And I can assure you that when what you found out is true across the board, when you help somebody else, it can't help but help you. When you help someone else or build someone else up or encourage someone else or do for someone else, you leave out of there with a little bit of a spring in your step, because it helps you as well, all right? For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it's written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. That's a sermon all in itself right there, when the Lord says that your reproaches, I took them upon me. I took what you deserve, and I willingly took that. He didn't succumb to his manhood. He stayed right where God ought to stayed in that, and took those reproaches upon himself. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, and we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so here's the wonderful part of the Word of God. I don't know how those in the early on got along without having the Word of God. I really don't. As I think about that, and there not being a New Testament for the first 300 years of Christianity, and I think about, you know, Obviously, when they got together, they used their mouth. They retold the stories. They stayed on it with their oral tradition with those things. But I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they hung together with it. The Word of God is so powerful. It's so so steadying. It's so available. And I don't understand all of that, but I do understand how important the Word of God is to us. We have to be careful, though, that we don't begin to worship the Word over the God of the Word, and begin to reverence the one step removed from God. But the Scriptures are vitally important, and they're for our learning, they're for our instruction. They're going to help us with all of that sort of thing, you see. I mean, it's like old Noah, you know. He was told to do something, and he did it. Now I get to learn from that. I get to be instructed from how God used that in his life and used that in this old world. And I don't have to go through a flood. I don't have to go through the ridicule and all the things that took place in his life. But I can definitely learn from it. I can be instructed by that. And I'm grateful for the Word of God. And I know you are too. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be, here's the one another, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Grant you to be like-minded one toward another, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive you one another. That's another one. We're not going to look particularly at that this evening. Wherefore, receive you one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Well, here it is. Be like-minded one to another. Now, what are we talking about when we're talking about being like-minded one to another? What do you think about that? What is he getting at? Okay. All right.
We believe the same basic Christian truths to be like-minded. We have that truth.
Okay. Okay. What about when we don't agree? I guarantee you I can make two or three statements in here tonight and y'all all ain't going to agree on them as we come together. I mean, there are historical things that we look at and have argued over forever as Christians. And then we get to going back into the thing where we talk about the essentials and the non-essentials of things, but then everybody wants to categorize the essentials and non-essentials differently, which leads us back to discussions and all kinds of opportunity for us to have disunity and a lack of harmony in all of that. You know, certain generations will have certain perceptions about things that other generations won't have. And so this like-minded stuff has to have an origin. It has to have some place that we can hang out in. We're in a situation right now in our nation where nobody can't agree on nothing. Nobody can agree on anything. Everybody's at odds about everything. Everything is, you know, and everything's something to come to blows over almost. With that. And if we really want to push on things in a church, if you really want to push on things, you can find out where people really stand, and you can push people into a place where they're going to make a stand, and then they start gathering folks to be like-minded with them. And the next thing you know, your like-mindedness turns into a church split over things, because people have gathered themselves in this side and gathered himself in this side, and the battle lines are drawn, and the next thing you know, if you're not with me, you're against me, and here we go. And so being like-minded has to start somewhere, and we have to come to a place at some point in some of these things where we are going to have to agree to disagree on some things. We don't water down things, but everything doesn't become an essential for everyone, and so we have to be careful about how we go about this process. Let me show you something here. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I haven't used this Bible in a while, and it is kicking me right now. Look at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, compassion, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now we're getting closer to what he's talking about with like-mindedness in Romans chapter 15 there, where he's talking about here that the basis for that's love. Okay, the basis for that is the relationship that we all enjoy in Christ. It's the common unity. It's the common bond that we have. There are times in my life, and I've said this before, where things happen, and all I can come back down to is the fact that I'm saved. Okay, all I can come back down to is I'm saved. I don't know this. I don't know that. I don't know which way to go. I don't know which way is up or down. I'm just at the place where all I know is I'm saved and I'm yours. Sometimes you just have to come down to the bottom denominator on something with all of that. And what is that bottom denominator for everything? Well, that's love, okay? That is the highest pinnacle of everything that is out there. And so before we get everybody stirred up about everything under the sun, what we have to do is make sure that we're operating on that same solid foundation with each other. And that we may have to come to the place of agreeing to disagree on some portion or some issue or on some thing, understanding that there's weaker, stronger in all of these things, because if we make everything a hill to die on, people do die. It does harm. There are deaths that take place. Death of testimony, death of friendships, death of churches. Can take place whenever we push for our own way, in our own thinking. I was reminded as I thought about this again this afternoon that when two people disagree, there are only two possibilities, and that is that one is wrong or both of them are wrong. Okay, and we have to be careful about being the authority in everything, and setting ourselves up as a standard of some kind. And so this is where he brings that to in this. There's another great passage on this over in John chapter 17, the great high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he prays for you and me all those many years ago. He prayed for us in this prayer all the way over into today. Take a look at verse 14. And Jesus is talking, he's talking about this unity that he and the Father have. He says, and he has with us. And even when he's talking right here, he's talking to you and me tonight. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your true word is truth. There's a big deal, and something that we need to see coming up much, much more here in our day. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that thou may be made perfect, etc. Goes right on down the line and keeps talking about this idea of he and the Father being one, him being in us, and us being one, which puts us at one with the Father, this oneness that we have. And when we lose sight of the fact that we are in the body and in this oneness situation here, this is when fracturing takes place. There have been some folks that are outside of the Baptist circle that I have as friends. And those friends, I have just got to disagree with them on certain things, but I still love them, and I know, according to their testimony, that they have a born-again experience, that they are biblically, as far as I can tell, saved, but we're going to differ on so many different things that it's not going to be good for us to hang out and even church together with that. I'm not an ecumenical kind of a guy for that one purpose, because there's too much overlooking, too much unease that takes place when we all gather together under this banner that it's so difficult for us to do anything that is edifying in that situation. And that's why we're here, because it is a way for us to be able to concentrate on what we're about with things, rather than have everything under the sun dragging us all over the place. And so it's that oneness that we have. I was thinking about Acts chapter 15, I believe, where, if you'll remember, Paul and Barnabas had come back from their first circle, and they were about to leave again. And Barnabas come along wagging John Mark, his cousin. He comes wagging John Mark up and says, "We're going to take Mark with us." Paul says, "No, we ain't." And he says, "Oh, yeah, we are." And the language that it gives us in that particular section right there is that he didn't come up and say he's going with us. And he says, "Oh, brother, I don't think that that's probably a good idea. It'd be better if we didn't do that." The language there says they had a sharp dispute in that. The language says that they almost come to blows over it. And these are two giants of the faith, you see. If there's any strong ones, there's two of them right there. Not weaker brothers that are coming together and butting heads, but these are strong individuals that come together. And as I look at that process and I look at that confrontation that they had and all of that, I see how it worked itself out in that. And Barnabas says, "I'll take John Mark, and we'll separate." And Paul takes Silas. They did do a separation, covered twice as much country, and did twice as much as they could have done, probably as if they all went together. Then I got to looking at the disputation that they had there between themselves, and got to thinking about that. Well, who's right and who's wrong? Huh? You ever find yourself looking things like that way? Which one's right and which one's wrong? And then I come to the conclusion, well, there's both wrong with some of it, or there's both right. And so I don't see that there was a wrong there. Both of them had a different reason for why they didn't want John Mark along with them. Paul was ministry focused. He was focused on the ministry and on leadership in ministry and the things that John Mark had could have put a black eye on with the ministry side of things, the way that he just left when they come out of Pamphylia there. And so he was trying to protect the ministry in this deal. Barnabas, on the other hand, was looking at the man. Paul's looking at the ministry. Barnabas is looking at the man and saying, look, we've all made mistakes, and God's a God of the second chance. And Paul's saying, well, yeah, I get that. But we're talking about a ministry setting here. This is influencing many people. This is leadership that we're talking about in this deal right here. And we can't have somebody that's going to drag Christ's name through the mud in this and come through there. Barnabas said, yeah, but he's God of the second chance, dude. And so they're both right, you know. And so sometimes we get our hackles up over things, about looking at things, and we're thinking about this in a man way, and others are looking at it in a ministry way, and then the next thing you know, we can have that problem between ourselves. We have to be like-minded. Be like-minded one to another. What does that mean? That gets it back down to the basics of everything. Get back down to that love portion. Where we are, that relationship portion that we have, because we're never going to agree with everybody. Amen. And if we force everything to fall into that way, fractures. And that's where we are as a nation, fractured, because nobody wants to give up the opportunity to minister to another. They want everything done for themselves. And so like-mindedness is a good thing. Oh, there's so many other places we could go with all of that and take a look at the mind of Christ. Even on down in Philippians chapter 2 there, the emptying of Christ that we see from 5 through 11 in there, that he emptied himself and the Holy Spirit to fill him. And there's a good thing for that as well, as far as being like-minded, for us to empty ourselves and the Holy Spirit of God to fill us. And when that Spirit of God fills us, then that ought to slosh over on the people that are around us. When we're not getting along with each other, chances are it's because we're really not getting along with our God, or getting alone with our God, and our relationship with Him is not strong. When our relationship with God is strong, we're pretty good with people, all right? When we start having a whole bunch of issues with people around us, maybe we better step back and check on this relationship business that's going on here, because it might be that we've kind of got out of whack with our vertical relationship, and is creating issues with our horizontal side of things. So be like-minded, okay? Be like-minded. Yes, sir. Absolutely. 2 Timothy chapter 4.
It don't always.
2 Timothy chapter 4. And see, what I see there is, even with that separation, God was in that separation. Sometimes we have to separate ourselves, because there's no way this is going to end well if we go in the attitude and the way that we're going about things at this point. And so that separation is a good thing. Look, some church splits are good things. To separate folks, to keep from creating some kind of a huge rift, because we're all part of a big family when it comes right down to it. But those rifts can be things that can damage even families and relationships and friendships and everything for years and years with all of that. That's about all I have time for tonight. We'll take a look at the next one next week. Maybe the world won't be on fire, and we'll get into a little deeper study next week.
You know, Brother Brett, just looking at that sign, we can all be like-minded on that. I am the way, the truth, the life. Mm-hmm. We all agree. Brother Brett, years ago, I heard just what you were saying. They said, shape of the cross. They said, when this relationship is right, it's like, then this relationship will mm-hmm. be good. First of all, mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, if there's a, that's kind of a test for us, you know. If we're looking around and our relationships around us are getting rocky, maybe we better check it. Maybe we better back up a minute, see where we're at. I thank you for your kind attention tonight. I thank you for your input and your prayers and just being who you are and making an attempt to be about the Lord's business, and I thank you for it. Let's pray and I'll get you going. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the time that we've had together. Thank you, Lord, for the love that we feel in this room. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit that has bounced around in this room tonight and encouraged us. Lord, I believe it's challenged us tonight as we've listened and prayed for and thought about others around us. I pray, God, that you'd help keep us like-minded. God, that you'd that your banner over us would be love. And God, that we'd take that quite seriously. Help us, Lord God, to be Christians that are not Christians in name only, but those that would be catalysts to change this world that we're living in. Help us to be catalysts for change for the better. Now, Lord, shoot us out of this place encouraged and ready to face the remainder of the week, for we pray it in Jesus' name and amen.